from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, folks. It's Locked On Chiefs. We got a special preview show for you. We brought in the ringer. I know you've seen her on FanRag Sports, maybe on LockedOnChiefs.com when you guys visit us. Paige Domokos is with us, so we're going to talk to her about what's going on with the Chiefs and what this game's going to mean to it. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and the analyst over at ChiefsDigest.com, as well as obviously LockedOnChiefs.com.
And I'm Chris Clark. I am a staff writer at Arrowhead Addict and the editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Paige, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Happy to be here. And since I have many family members who are Chiefs fans, I'm sure they'll be happy to listen to this podcast.
Oh, beautiful. Now we feel more comfortable. Folks, the name of the show is The Sports Page. You can find it on FanRag Sports, iTunes, and the whole nine yards. You want to go check that out because you can get to listen to Paige all the time. I know you in particular have made a couple of things that you might be a little excited about, some of the changes that they were announcing for this game against the Broncos, huh?
I have to admit that I was excited because I've been watching Patrick Mahomes for a while. I was actually, because I live out here in Arizona, I know that the Cardinals franchise was really interested in Mahomes, and I talked to Steve Keim and Bruce Arians a lot about him, so I felt like I knew the most about him coming into the draft. And he's somebody I'm really excited to see play. And I know that the Chiefs aren't necessarily going to play their starters the whole time, but I just really want to see what he can do. The guy's got a big arm, and I'm very excited to see the non-game management quarterback in there. Although Alex Smith, I feel like I've become an Alex Smith defender at times because I work with people who are very critical of him, and so I tend to defend him, but I am really excited to watch Mahomes play.
Everybody hates a game manager until you have Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, for sure. Insert any Bears quarterback in the last 35 years. So please don't complain to me, Chiefs fans. I'm like, I'm not here for your quarterback complaints.
Touche. Well played. So you talked to Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, so they were pretty interested in Mahomes, weren't they?
Yeah, they were really interested in Mahomes. That was kind of their guy coming out of last year's draft, and especially for Bruce Arians, because I consider him one of the best as far as quarterbacks go and what he looks at in talent evaluation. So hearing what he had to say about Mahomes and just the knowledge that he spoke of with Mahomes and how smart he was and how he picked up offenses and how that upside, alongside the fact that naturally, athletically, he's just got a great arm. And that excites you when you can match that athleticism with somebody who's willing to work and put in the time. So I think he got drafted into a perfect situation, which doesn't happen for most quarterbacks. So he got drafted into a situation where he got to sit behind a guy who, whether you like him or not, has been around the league for a long time. He's going to learn a lot. He's going to be able to mature and get better and then have the opportunity to potentially be the starting quarterback when next season starts.
Well, and you said something that really strikes home, because I think Ryan and I, you know, draft night, I was ecstatic that they went up and got him, but I was surprised they had to go all the way up to number 10. But with what you're saying, it sounds like he was pretty much a foregone conclusion to being 11.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I can't say with 100% certainty, but right. I'd say about 95%, and it just made my assurances even more so when I saw the Chiefs move up, because I think they knew that the Cardinals were going to be there and that they were going to take Mahomes.
Well, it's a good thing that they did. And I think now you get this glimpse of the future. And like I said on yesterday's show, I'm happy for him to get the full treatment, be able to run the whole process, run the room this week with Alex Smith moving to the scout team, which I think is great. And it gives him a chance to be the leader that he's going to have to be in 2018. And the thing that I like about Pat is that his instincts, his variables that he can do on his own are so lengthy that we don't need to go into those. The thing that I think maybe he struggled with is some structure, some play design, play calling, obviously the terminology and the read offense. And now he gets to go through all that with the whole quarterback room and get ready for next season. I think one game's enough. Do you think that he's going to get as much out of this that I feel like he will?
I think he's going to get a lot out of it. My concern for Chiefs Nation is if he goes out there and lights it up, what's going to happen coming into the playoffs? That's more of my concern I see, because I know I talk to my family regularly. I hear what's going on, and I'm like, man, oh man, if he goes out there and he shows some plays that I know he can and flashes and, you know, does more than people are expecting a rookie to do, then all of a sudden, I mean, they won't do it because Andy Reid wouldn't do it, but it would create hella controversy. And I'm here. That would be entertaining to me as a non-Chiefs fan and just somebody who's watching the NFL.
Well, and not to mention that he's going to be going up against one of the best pass defenses in the league in two great corners. Because you would assume that they're going to play at least some. I mean, they may not play the whole game, but it's still a very good defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that Denver defense is going to play as hard as they can. I mean, a lot of guys are fighting for their jobs. They got a head coach who people are talking about whether or not, you know, Elway says one thing, you hear another thing being leaked. So at the end of the day, they're going to play hard. Like, they, you know, they have nothing to play for, but they have a lot to play for. They're still professionals, so they're going to go out there and play hard.
Well, and one guy that's got to play hard against him is a guy that I'm keeping my eye on for his snap streak is Mitch Schwartz against a potential Von Miller for however many snaps he takes. When you look at that matchup in particular, it's been kind of back and forth over the last few years. Definitely, while Schwartz was in Cleveland, he had the upper hand. It's been a little bit more back and forth lately. Do you think that's something that they're going to let those guys just play out the whole game?
I hope so. I sure hope so, because I always like those individual matchups that you can go in and look at for a game and pay very close attention to. I mean, obviously, Von Miller is one of the best at what he does, and so is Schwartz, so it's going to be highly entertaining. I think that's going to be one of the individual matchups to watch the most, but it's going to be hard to keep your eyes off of Mahomes. You know that that's what everybody's going to be looking for, and Von Miller is going to be coming for him. You know that.
Well, and you make a great point. Yeah, it's going to be really hard to take your eyes off Mahomes and watch the rest of the field, but there's so many players in this game for Kansas City. I mean, you're not going to see Tyreek Hill more than likely. You're not going to see Travis Kelce. You won't see Kareem Hunt. So that leads you to, you know, more of the second string guys for Kansas City's offense. And you're right. If Patrick Mahomes comes out and does really well, that's going to bode very well for the future of Kansas City, and it could create a controversy because he's going to be playing with guys that couldn't get a lot of playing time this year.
For sure. I mean, if he goes out there, and I don't even think he has to play that well. I think he just has to play pretty decently, and people are going to be talking about it, because at the end of the day, like, he's not out there with the first string guys, you know? So if he goes out there and he had a full deck of cards, then it would be a different story. But if he goes out there and plays pretty decently against a good defense, I think people are at least going to talk about it, just because that's what we do with quarterbacks. And you know that the most popular person on the team is always the backup quarterback, because it's the unknown.
Well, and I wonder what he's going to see, because at the end of the day, like you said, these Broncos are going to play hard. And there's pride involved. A pair of corners, maybe even a trio, depending on how high somebody is on Bradley Roby. And I think he's going to have a formidable option there with those three guys. I think he's going to throw an interception or two.
Yep.
It's going to happen. And for me, I'm really interested to see not only how he bounces back from that, because we all know he threw a ton in college, and that's fine, but how the offense around him reacts to missteps that I think are destined to happen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very interested to see the body language of the entire team, just because of some of the things that have played out and some of the things I've heard throughout the season, talking to people just in the locker room, how the defense looks, how certain captains, certain leaders are responding to things. I'm very interested to watch the body language of the entire team while Mahomes is out there, because I think there's a lot of people in that locker room that are excited about Mahomes, including a lot of the defensive players.
What are some of the
maybe I'll keep their snaps down.
What are some of the defensive matchups that you're looking forward to in this game for Kansas City going against Denver?
Well, with Kansas City, I mean, since Eric Berry's been out, you've been watching. I mean, unfortunately for Marcus Peters, he's kind of struggled in moments throughout the season. You saw his frustration going out. So I think, specifically, you need to see your guys. If Kansas City is going to do well in the playoffs, your superstar guys need to step up and need to play big, and that has to happen. And they haven't really been doing that. That's what we've gotten used to over the last couple of years, is how good the Chiefs defense has been. And watching them, especially from a fantasy perspective this year, I've watched them slip into bottom five categories that I'm not used to them being in. So I need the superstars to step up. You need guys like Marcus Peters to be Marcus Peters, to lead the team, to be out there doing what they need to do. And I know that, you know, maybe these guys might not play the whole game, but I would assume that some of these defensive guys will be out there for most of the time.
Well, in that position in particular, because I don't expect to see much of Ron Parker because he is kind of the glue holding that secondary together without Eric Berry out there. And you see these other young safeties. I think Leon McQuay is going to play. You're going to see a lot more Eric Murray, who's had a really up and down season for a guy coming out of college that I really, really like. And Dan Sorensen's been, you know, he's been diagnosed and exposed in every way you can think
of. For sure.
So, I mean, but without Barry's leadership, what are you going to do? I think he's a guy that they miss not only on the field, but across the locker room. And like you said, maybe on both sides of the ball.
I would say more so the intangibles that Eric brings. It's less about, I mean, obviously he's a super talented guy on the field, but when you can't replace leadership like that. I've seen that happen numerous times with defenses across the league. I feel like it's even more so with defenses when you have that vocal guy, that guy that's in the backfield that's talking and getting everybody riled up. When that guy's not out there, it doesn't matter that he's on the sidelines or wherever he is. He needs to be out there playing. When he's not, you see that the defense looks lost in moments. And that's what the Chiefs looked like this year without him.
Well, and you mentioned the defense looks lost. I would almost also venture to say that the offenses look lost. And I think Eric Berry's leadership goes beyond just the defense. I think he
for sure
has been a guy that is, you know, a vocal leader on both sides of the ball. And yeah, he's not an offensive player, but he has the ability to go up to anybody on that team and get in their face, and they know where he's coming from. And he has that ability to bring the best out of players. And I think they really missed that in their losing streak this season.
100%, because usually with really good leadership, those kind of like dives that they had this season don't happen. And I think that's where that struggle came from is you didn't have that kind of feisty, fiery guy in the locker room who's keeping people on their toes. And you saw that because that team was better than what they were in those couple of games where they struggled. And it was frustrating to watch when you're a Chiefs fan. Is frustrating to watch as a fantasy owner of Kareem Hunt. It's frustrating. You know, there was a lot of frustration there, especially when you see them go and put 37 points, or you're watching them in certain games and you're going, how is that team the same team that shows up there? And that's they're missing that leadership. And, you know, luckily, hopefully for them, he comes back and feels really good and we'll be back for them next season.
Yeah, losing to the Giants.
Yeah.
And that's a key point. That's an even bigger piece, because I don't think that's what happened with Eric Berry around. And the other thing that really concerns me is I think Chris Jones had a chance to become a superstar this season. It didn't happen because I don't know that he was driven motivationally by his teammates as much without Eric around. I'm really looking forward to see what that does for him, as well as the guy who really didn't get to spend any time with Eric Berry and Reggie Ragland, who I think's made a huge impact on this defense. I want to see what he does.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, when you guys are talking about the guy with Eric, everybody feeds off of him. You can tell by that. And you're not going to see, especially with younger guys or guys that are coming into the team, you're not going to see what their full potential is until the captain and the vocal leader, the guy who's in the back, who's talking to, like you guys said, both the offense and the defense. Until he's back there, you can't get a good taste for what that defense was, because, I mean, that was a huge step backwards that they took this year from last season.
Well, I guess we have to actually talk about this game a little bit, right? Is there anything that we can expect to take from this other than the performance of the guys that are playing for the first time?
I mean, the most exciting thing here is to watch Mahomes. I mean, that's you got to watch him. You got to see. And like I said, you watch the body language. I'm watching Mahomes, but I'm watching the other teammates around him. I'm watching when they pan to look at Kelce and when they pan to look at Tyreek Hill, because you saw Kelce in moments this season. I think of a specific play where Alex Smith threw an awful interception, and you saw Travis Kelce's body language out on the field. So I wonder how some of these guys are going to react to him and watching him play. They look excited. What does that feel like? And obviously watching Mahomes. And then from Denver's perspective, I'm just trying to see what this team, you know, what are they going to do going forward as far as a quarterback situation? So I know on the Chiefs side, I know what I'm watching. And from Denver's perspective, I'm just trying to figure out what is the identity of this team? Because their defense was elite in prior years. And this year was good, but not at that elite level again. And offensively, it's just been a train wreck. So I'm just trying to see what they're going to try, what pieces they're going to try and build around going forward, because you obviously have young guys like Von Miller, who we mentioned already. But what are they going to do going forward when you have aging guys like CJ Anderson and Jamal Charles, who's saying, you might as well release me? I mean, things are not looking great from that organization right now.
Well, did you bring up exactly my comments? And I said this to Ryan earlier tonight before we were recording. You know, when I look at Denver, the thing that would worry me if I was a Denver fan is where are they going in the future? You know, regardless of whether or not they keep their coach this year, which I'm not sold on Vance Joseph, but I really don't know that I would can him after 1 year. But I don't think John Elway's done a good enough job keeping talent there for that team to be successful in the long run. Is that kind of what you think as well?
Yeah, that's where I am with this situation. I don't think Vance Joseph was the right hire in general. I mean, I think, but that falls on John Elway. That doesn't, right. That's not Vance Joseph's fault. So, I mean, a lot of that is the same situation that I talked about with you guys off the air with the Bears. Like, I fault the GMs and the ownership when they don't put the right people in place. It's not the head coach's fault that he took a head coaching job. You know, you got to take that with the GM and the ownership. And I know that Elway is a god in Denver and nobody wants to be critical of his decision making, but I've been critical of that hire from the very beginning. I never thought it was a good hire. I thought from the very beginning it wasn't going to turn out to do well, and I think this has proved it. And like you said, Chris, I mean, we're looking at this and we're looking at it from a critical eye. Like, where is this team going in the future? And I don't think they can answer that question, so we sure as hell can't answer that question. So they got to figure out what they're doing offensively, because they're in a lot of trouble if they're going to try and put those three guys out there again and try and figure something out.
Well, there's another guy that I want to know about where he's going, and the options seem to be growing as they go on. He just makes 4,000 yards, a pinnacle in his career. Probably the best career year of Alex Smith's entire career. And now he's got a couple of guys that used to work in his former front office that are running teams in separate areas of the country. He's got other coaches that can appreciate his game, like maybe Arians. You know,
yep.
There's another a number of openings that are going to show up. You know, where do you think might be a good fit to try and seek a trade partner for Alex Smith?
I thought from the very beginning that Arizona would be in on Alex Smith, just because he kind of fits that recipe of what they've done over the last few years with getting Kurt Warner kind of in the back half of his career, getting Carson Palmer kind of in the back half of his career. I mean, I think it would make sense to go get a guy like Alex Smith and then draft a guy and have a guy who's got to be the younger guy that you're going to turn to at some point. They have to draft. I keep telling them that. I'm like, you have to draft a quarterback at some point. You know, you're going to have to try once, because you guys haven't been trying a whole lot. And, you know, you got to hit on one every once in a while. And you only do that when you draft guys. So
no, wait a second. Kansas City didn't draft a first round QB for almost 30 for over 30 years. So
that worked out real well.
I just had to mention that. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's my favorite thing to hear complaints from, whether it's from the organization or from fan bases or whatever. Like, oh, we need a quarterback. I'm like, all right, well, the first step to doing that is drafting one. I mean, you got to draft quarterbacks, and you have to sometimes give up a lot to get those guys, because guess what? They're franchise guys. Those are the guys. And now I think everybody's kicking themselves. Now you saw New England give up a second round pick, you know, and San Francisco give up a second round pick to get Jimmy Garoppolo, who looks like a god in San Francisco with that terrible team that he's turned around in what seems like a week. And now they're 4-0 under his helm. So, I mean, at some point you need to realize, like, you're going to have to give up something to get a franchise guy. It's just what has to happen. And we're not all going to find Tom Brady or Russell Wilson in later rounds and be very lucky. That doesn't happen.
Well, and you say Garoppolo, and he just went and beat Jacksonville, who is one of the best defenses in the NFL. That was a very impressive game as well. So, no, I completely agree. You know, I just think it's funny. Kansas City didn't draft a guy for so long. They haven't started a first-round QB since 1979, you know, since before I was even born.
Yeah.
Ryan, that's a different issue for you, but.
Yeah, whatever. Since I watched Steve DeBerg, I mean, come on, what are you going to do? I think that you guys both bring up a point that I think is interesting, though, because it's a commentary on the league, I think, as a whole. And maybe, especially for me, Chris, thanks for pointing it out. instead of eras gone by, I think this has moved from a head coach's league to a GM's league. And I think what you're talking about in terms of being the first step in drafting a franchise quarterback, the lack of risk-taking, I think, shows a lack of confidence by most GMs in their scouting departments to actually find these quarterbacks that aren't going to make them look terrible and lose their job.
For sure. No, this is, I mean, you hit on a quarterback and you could be set for a decade. You could be set for 15. I mean, you could be set for 15 years. I mean, that's you hit on the right QB and you're safe. I mean, that's how much goes into finding the right guy. And I think that starts with getting a guy. I mean, you have to try at some point. So I think that's my biggest thing with Arizona is I've heard a lot about, you know, it would make sense. Alex Smith, I could see that very well happening, just because that's kind of what they've liked to do in the past. A lot of that depends on, I think, whether or not Arians decides to retire or not. But I do think that he's tending towards the retirement, and I think it will be very interesting to see what a new regime here in Arizona would bring in and what Alex Smith could do here in Arizona.
I know we've been talking a lot about this Denver and Kansas City game, and I understand that. Obviously, that's who plays coming up on Sunday. But I'm curious, what's your perspective on the AFC West going forward? Because you look at, you know, we've kind of already talked about Denver. They're a team that doesn't have a QB. They don't really have a direction right now. They may be getting a new head coach. And then you look at a team like, you know, Oakland. It's possible Jack Del Rio doesn't have a job next year.
Sure.
I would think that the San Diego guy is going – or sorry, Los Angeles. I keep doing that. is probably safe. I think he's done well enough. But, you know, what do you think about the AFC West moving forward?
Well, I mean, you have to talk about Philip Rivers' age at some point. I mean, he's getting up there. Yep. And I mean, at some point, you're going to have to rely on somebody else. And at the end of the day, like, I thought it was funny, all the chatter about the Chargers, because I knew they were going to fail. I mean, I knew that was going to happen. It happens all the time. You can't trust that team to get things done. I'm like, I'll take the championship pedigree with a better head coach in Kansas City than I will with what's going on in LA, San Diego, whatever the hell you want to call them these days. But I mean, it's Philip Rivers. I love Rivers. I think he's one of the most fiery competitors and very fun to watch. But at some point you need to address the fact that he's getting older. I mean, the guys he's throwing the ball to, you know, part of that. I mean, you saw Antonio Gates have a huge game, like congrats, but like it's at some point you're going to have to address that. We've already talked about Denver at a length, and what's going on in Oakland is very interesting, because I think a lot of what happened last year was more fluky than anything. If you look at their last, they won like it was like 10 games within 3-point margin, and they were like in the last 2 minutes. And so a lot of that happens. It reminds me of the Arizona season 3 seasons ago, where they were like that, and then you followed it up with all this Super Bowl talk going into the next season, and they failed miserably. Very similar to what happened with Oakland this year. I do think that obviously Derek Carr is going to be their guy going forward. They locked him up long term and gave him a big deal, but they're going to have to bring somebody else in, because you can see I'm pretty adamant that they're going to fire Jack Del Rio. I don't think he has a job going forward, especially seeing the expectations. But with them, I mean, you bring in Marshawn Lynch and you expect that that's going to be the running game. I mean, there's a lot of question marks there with what they were decision-making wise. I mean, that just was never going to be, I don't think that was ever going to work. So I think, honestly, the Chiefs have the best. I know that fits right into what you guys are talking about and it fits well, but I think the Chiefs have the best outlook going forward, just because they have a young guy. They have a good quarter. I mean, they have Mahomes and they have a good core and they have a positive outlook, whereas the other teams, I think, are all kind of trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
I have to ask real quick, do you think Derek Carr, I know you said he's obviously going to be their guy and I get that. Do you think he's a top 10 QB in the NFL?
No, I do not. I love him.
I've got a big smile on my face right now. I'm just saying.
I think he's a great guy, and I think that's why he gets a lot of I think he gets a lot of like people in the media cut him a lot of slack, because he's a really good guy. I'm all about being a good guy. That's great. Congrats that you're a really nice person, but I can still be like, okay, you're a really nice person, and I can be critical of your play on the field. And I think that's what has happened a lot with him, is that people are fascinated with Oakland being back, and I'm just not ready to say that, because they're not back. They haven't won anything, so call me when they do.
Yeah, throw a party on the strip when it happens. I'll be there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess we don't really need to predict this game that we started talking about, but let's move past that, given there's no real repercussions. When you look at this AFC West in general, but the AFC playoff picture across the board, who scares you? Is the Chiefs one of those teams, or is it really just about the top two seeds?
Unfortunately, I wish I could say that Jacksonville or the Chiefs scare me, but I think any team that's got to go to Heinz Field or to Gillette Stadium is going to lose. And unfortunately, I don't see it playing out any way different. I predicted at the beginning of the year that it would be Steelers and Patriots, and I think that's what's going to happen in the AFC Championship game. I will be hoping for a Steelers win just because I'm tired of the Patriots, but I unfortunately do not think it's going to go the way that I want it to. I think if they were playing at home at Heinz Field, I think that game that they played 2 weeks ago really cost them the AFC Championship game, because I think if they're at home, they win that game. But on the road, especially with Antonio Brown now being a big question mark, he's obviously, you know, such a dynamic, almost MVP-like season this year. If he's not in there, you got to give the edge to Tom Brady, and we all know what he does in the playoffs. So,
no, wait a second. You're talking about that game where, you know, Pittsburgh lost because Jesse James dropped the ball, right?
Yeah, we all know how if you don't know how I feel about the NFL and their catch rules, then you should check out my Twitter timeline. There's only about 17 angry videos done over the last month and a half. So
step away from the rabbit hole.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I knew where that was going.
As long as Roger Goodell is the commissioner, which is like five more seasons, I'm pretty sure he's just entertained by all of us arguing about what a catch is, because it's just good for their brand. So I don't think he's changing anything anytime soon.
Last question for you. If you had your druthers, who takes over the head job in Chicago?
Oh, well, dream scenario is Bill Belichick leaves New England and goes on over. I mean, I'm like, see ya, Bill. Let's just come on over to Chicago. Today I talked about, I think there's a couple of really good options. I really like the kind of my sleeper pick of somebody who I've actually been reading a lot about, and I talked to a lot of my friends in Philadelphia, people that cover the team, people that know, is DeFilippo, who's their quarterback coach for Carson Wentz. And if you talk to anybody out of Philly, they have credited pretty much all of Carson Wentz's progression to DeFilippo. So I think that would be a really interesting hire. I could see, hopefully, the Bears making. I really want Fangio to stay as defensive coordinator for the Bears, so I should start off with that. I do want him to stay, and I do not want him to be the head coach. I want him to stay the defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. which I don't think is going to happen, but I would like that. That's my ideal scenario, is he stays, and then either you got Frank Reich and DeFilippo coming over, and giving Reich the head coaching job and making DeFilippo the offensive coordinator. But I really think DeFilippo is ready to take that next step, and everything that I've heard and talked to everybody around the league about him is that he's ready, and he's a lot to do with Carson Wentz's progression. If Ryan Pace believes in Mitch Trubisky as much as he says he does, that's kind of the guy who I think would make sense.
I have to ask one more question. I know Ryan said we were done.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the AFC for just a second. Do you think that Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady call it quits in the next couple of years?
I think Ben is closer to calling it quits than Tom is. Ben, just because I talked to him this summer, he was out at the Arians event, and just like, I think he enjoys life outside of football a lot more than Tom does. I'll say it that way. I think he enjoys lake life and golfing and drinking a few brews a little bit more than Tom obviously does. So, and Tom's just got this unbelievable competitive drive that like doesn't exist in anybody really, that he, you know, feels that same passion almost that happened, you know, 15 years ago, and he's still got this chip on his shoulder. So I think Tom's done within the next 2 to 3 seasons. I could see Ben being done either at the end of this season or at the end of next season. But I could see Tom, I mean, realistically, the guy could probably play to, he's like, I don't know, 45. I mean, that's what he said. So you got to believe him at some point. He doesn't get hit enough to get out of the league early enough, because that's what they do there. They have that great offensive line and they block for him. So as long as he stays upright and healthy, that guy's going to play football.
It only takes one hit. I'm just saying.
You know, oh, for sure. We've been saying that for a while, though. That guy just keeps defying logic. So I'm at some point I needed to like buy in, and now I'm like, okay, dude, you're 40 and you're setting. You might win an MVP this year, so I just got to buy in. I just got to be like, okay, you can do anything, and you're literally a god. So whatever, go do you, Tom.
Until some team goes and gets Bernard Pollard, and then it's all bets are off.
Folks, listen to her on the sports page app name, I think. You can find that all over FanRag Sports. Thanks, Paige, for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a good time, guys. Good luck to your cheats.
And that's it for your Red Friday preview. Thanks to Paige Domingos for joining us. Keep an eye out. We have an interview with Larry Johnson coming at you here later before the game on Sunday. Keep an eye out for that. Thanks for listening now. We'll have post-game for you after Sunday's game, as well as the Johnson episode. Have a good one. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.